Route 616, your home for all fans of Marvel main continuity. We are back after not we are back after a week off. Not too many episodes last month, but that's okay. Yeah, it is gonna happen sometimes. This is episode 48 of Route 616, and well, we've hit a year of this show, which I didn't point out to my co-host before we started, but we've hit a
Really?
year
Holy
in terms of
crap.
upload dates. We hit it yesterday or today. It was yesterday or today that was exactly a year
And
since
we've
the first
only
episode was
gotten
uploaded.
better. Well, that's definitely true. We had
Yeah.
no idea what we were doing a year ago.
Bill and I stammered through the first episode like amateurs, but anyways.
And we didn't have, we didn't even use cameras back then either, so.
That's true. We didn't
Well,
do
okay,
that till like
some
episode
things may
20.
have been better back then. Yeah, I was going to say, at least people didn't have to see our faces.
So, of course, Bill is here with us. So.
Hello?
And Mr. Technical Difficulties himself, Dan, is here.
Yeah, I'm he barely, but I'm here. I'm a little bit fucking hungover. Like, just a little bit hungover. Oh no, and we stuck with those topics. I'm gonna feel better about losing the FA Cup now.
This could be a good episode.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Bill? Yesterday we started bar hopping around noon. Okay, guys, I tell you the story real quick. We started bar hopping around noon, and the first bar we went to in Halifax was Dirty Nelly's. Now, Dirty Nelly's is a Liverpool bar. Okay, but when you're walking towards it, you see the patio. It's literally surrounded by Halifax Wanderers flags, right? So you're thinking, yeah, this is gonna be a wicked bar to get drunk in. It's technically a pub, and you go in, and the first thing you see is a fully autographed Liverpool jersey framed on the wall, and it's like, yeah, this is gonna be the best place to get drunk ever. Unfortunately, on the other side of the wall is a fucking City jersey. So I'm definitely never going to there. I was going to say, what I want to do is I want to invite both you wankers to this pub at some point, and so the three of us can sit there. We're going to drink and we're going to do our podcast from this pub. I think we should. We need to get this out of our frigging bedrooms and out into the real world. We got to start doing our podcast from, other places.
That's asking
Yeah,
a lot.
that is tempting, but
It's not asking anything,
I
you
need to get a United jersey that fits me before I go in there, okay, because I'm not going in a place that and then advertises we can do a City podcast and on why we built it. Liverpool without staking my colors. So then, Ryan, we can do an entire podcast together while Bill lies on the ground beside the table, soaked in blood and beer, moaning quietly to himself because everybody beat the crap out of him. Because
Sounds like an average city night, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's fair. But before this podcast goes any further, for anyone who's listening to this, we all live in Nova Scotia, and right now we've been suffering the throes of a massive wildfire that's consuming just startling tracts of Largest land. in provincial history, and that's not even the famous one. Yeah, it is the largest in provincial history. And when I was in Halifax yesterday, I was a few miles away from the actual fire, right? And we were drinking copious amounts of whatever they were willing to sell us. But the air was just horrible. Like, it was really difficult to breathe. So if you hear me cough my lungs up today, it's because it's been, the entire Oh day yeah, yesterday. it It was smelled like, like wood smoke down here, and I live like 100 kilometers away from either fire, or 300 from the one that was actually smoking us out, and 100 from the one near where Dan was. And to put that in context, 100 kilometers is about 60, 65 miles. But it The was Yanks can do their own math.
No, they can't.
Yeah, that's
Have you
true.
seen
I've
the
seen their
American
school
education
system.
system? Exactly, that's what I was going to say.
Right, but seriously, so last night, by the time we left the last pub, because we finished off at the Halifax Sports Bar, which was just a hoot and a half. By the time we left barrels last night, the rain had just started, and it did rain fairly heavily overnight, and it was raining this morning when we left the city after we all woke up and decided maybe we should go home, right, and get off our friend's friggin', living room couch. But it is
like after they got rolled out of the pub, poked with sticks, and told they had to go home now.
Pretty much. Well, I have a little anecdote about this that's kind of funny, but I really do want to just do a shout out to all the firefighters and all the volunteers. The firefighters that came in from other countries, from other provinces, thank you. To all the volunteers who did everything from making sure the firefighters got fed to, you know, rescuing, you know, farm animals and house pets and all of these things, everything that everybody did. Thank you. And all the people who lost their homes, and there are a lot of people who have lost everything in this.
It's yeah, I think we're up over 200 last I heard.
Right, just the number of homes that got burnt down, there's no way, you know, and nothing they can do. Yeah, our hearts go out to you, but thank you to all the firefighters. So, boom.
There we go. That's a nice touch to the podcast. We do wish the best to everybody that's been affected by the fires. We are lucky enough that it has not happened this way, and hopefully it stays that way. But it's a huge deal right now in this province.
It really is. It's just, there's been nothing like it before. So, think of what it would be like if there was climate change. but I'm not worried about that because Trump said there isn't. So. I don't have to worry about that shit.
If you can't believe Tito Benito, who can you believe?
All those polar bears are just being whiny babies. Little whiny babies.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what they're on about. Yeah. Anyway.
They're just high off all the trash in Churchill they eat.
Yeah. You know what? I think you're right. That's where my fucking edibles went. God damn it.
You gotta keep an eye on those.
Yeah, well, by the way... Okay. Tone, get to the little anecdote here. Okay, last bar we tried to hit is a place called the Seahorse Pub in Halifax. And we got there, and there was massive lineups. Seahorse is an upper and a lower level. Lower level was a live DJ. There were all these teenagers there, and it's like, there was no way we were going to get in there. We didn't want to go in anyway, because we didn't want to hear that crap. Right, so we went around the front, and there was no lineup. And I got all excited. It's like, hey, you know, last bar, we're going to have fun. Let's do this. Right. I was doing my best Simon Pegg on this one. And all my friends, for some reason, decided that ABBA night at the Seahorse Pub was not something they wanted to do. And I am
You need new friends.
I am crushed. How can you turn down ABBA night at a pub?
That sounds wonderful.
I could do it pretty easily. There's several elements against it. ABBA,
for Man U. Nobody cares what you think.
Night, and at a pub.
No, it's a regular pub, but they just were having an ABBA night. And I mean, if they gone karaoke on this shit, man, you wouldn't have got. I'd still be there. I would. Oh my god, it would have been epic. Take a chance.
I really wish I heard this story before we started the podcast, so we could introduce you as the dancing queen.
Oh, hey, I could do that. You know what? I'm going to get me some bell bottoms.
And now we've exhausted my knowledge of ABBA.
Yeah, okay, well, you know what? How do you know I'm not wearing sequin bell bottoms right now?
Let's not find out. But anyway.
I mean, it would be an improvement from the usual no pants at all.
My ball sack's got to breathe, bitches.
There's a reason we shoot from the chest up.
Yeah, I don't want to scare the women.
Oh, anyways, I think we're going to start our comic stock now for this week. So, our lineup this week includes a couple certain Furies. We have then a couple Avengers, which is... this is kind of like a shit sandwich of Avengers, but whatever.
It's like a shit sandwich of a podcast, let's be honest.
Well, that too, but then we're going to have a
It works on ice cream because Ryan's in the middle.
Oh, there you go.
You're in the middle of mine, Bill, and which you deserve to be after those ABBA comments. But and then today's podcast will end on a Daredevil issue, always a highlight. So to start us off this week, we're gonna jump right into Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos issue number 14.
I
love how we're just keeping Fantastic Four as a surprise.
Yeah, we're sorry, guys. Just in advance, we're sorry.
I said Fantastic Four, but you guys were talking, so. But anyways, this one's titled The Blitzkrieg Squad of Baron Strucker. And we have written by Stan Lee, of course, art by Dick Ayers, inks by George Russo's, cover art by Jack Kirby and Dick Ayers, letters by Artie Simic. This is a November 1964 release, 20-page story, and I will take this one. This synopsis is short. Not as short as the next one, but but short nonetheless. Adolf Hitler summons Baron Strucker into his office to tell him he is sick of being embarrassed by Sergeant Fury. Since Strucker had come closest to defeating the commandos than anyone, that's, it has of anyone, but that's not proper English, Hitler tells him his new assignment is to defeat the commandos for good. Strucker starts a new squad based on Fury's own called the Blitzkrieg Squad.
I am Kweeg 6000. I now control Red Dwarf.
If he was Blitzkrieg, we would have never gotten Holly back.
That's right. And Ryan knows this reference because he saw that episode.
God. Oh my God. God,
I don't believe that they actually watched any of that. They said they were watching it and then put on Monster House for the 12,752nd time.
Well, the Disney Princess Marathon had ended by that point, so he had to go back to Monster House.
Oh, you
saying. You get back to Kweeg there, bro. Okay?
Called the Blitzkrieg Squad and sets a trap for the commandos. The trap is a fake missile base that will look real from the outside. Of course this draws the commandos, but the Blitzkrieg Squad is able to easily capture them. Strucker feels he is due for a huge promotion.
Can they release Roger?
But after the Howlers eventually escape, Hitler is madder than ever before. That's all the synopsis is.
I mean, that's pretty much the way the story goes.
Yeah.
This story was really good for most of it.
It was,
and then the ending pissed me off because they don't, like, they set up the Blitzkrieg Squad to be dangerous, and then they're all beaten like a page. And we don't even see the Howlers escape. They just have escaped. And you just see the Nazis being like, oh no, they're gone. Whatever happened?
They're in a German car when they escape, and we don't see it. We just see them. We just have speech bubbles from the car.
Yeah, but nothing about their actions of actually escaping. They're just free and driving away.
They're just suddenly in a car and driving away. It's stupid. The ending is kind of dumb, but otherwise, I quite enjoyed this one. I thought it was a lot of fun. I got a pop out of there being German commandos, as I like.
I love the concept of the Blitzkrieg Squad. I just wish they had done something with it.
Yeah,
suicide mission.
They really built it up and killed it all in one issue, but
they show back up again in the future.
That's good.
I think they actually get some time to shine then.
I genuinely really enjoyed this issue, besides the ending, and I gave this one 4 stars because I thought this one was a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely higher than the average rating by a lot, but I don't know. I like this one a lot.
I would have given 4 stars if it didn't end the way it did.
Fair enough.
As it was, it pulled it down to a 3 for me.
Fair enough. Any thoughts, Stan? Behind those eyes?
Crap? No. Other than it's crap, but yeah, everybody knows that already.
Anyways, nothing new out of Dan this week.
That's right.
Playing the role of curmudgeonly old man Wall, as always.
Hey, if you find something you're good at, go with it.
It's a good gimmick. But anyways, Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos number 15 is next, and this one is titled Too Small to Fight, Too Young to Die.
The one with the horrifying, badly drawn cover.
Yeah, Dan hates this cover.
Oh my God,
I don't.
This cover is
it's
so Jack.
Isn't Kirby your boy, Dan?
Oh, I love Jack Kirby. I adore Jack Kirby. I love this cover. Not this cover. Not this freaking cover. This was just embarrassing.
It's not the. It's definitely not the best cover. I don't think it's as awful as Dan's saying, but it's not that good.
They don't really do Fury good covers around this time, it seems.
Fury with his, you know, Mr. Fantastic arms. It's like Freddy out of the first Nightmare film. God. What are you laughing at? It's true.
He's not wrong.
No, yeah. You're not. It's just funny. This one is written by Stan Lee, of course. The interiors are better, like we said, the inks are done by Dick Ayers. Inks are done by Steve Ditko. Are they actually? Well, that's crazy. Jack Kirby did the cover, as we've talked about. Sam Rosen's on letters, and this is a December 1964 release, so Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and this is inked by Ditko. That's why the art was so good, isn't it?
Yeah, that makes sense.
There you go.
20-page story. And this one actually doesn't have a synopsis from the site we use, so we're going to just try to knock this one out real quick. Essentially, the Howling Commandos are sent on a mission. Of course, it's pretty much a suicide mission, like always, where they have to blow up. What is it? It's like a. It's not like a. It's not called a dam, but they have to blow up.
It is a dam. It's the dike. They have to breach the dike around Holland.
Around Holland, yeah.
I can see why you thought it was a dam, because
I knew it wasn't. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, clearly, neither Dick nor Steve have seen a Dutch dike, because they draw the thing like it's made out of big old fucking stone blocks, like it's part of the pyramids or something. Get your mind out of the gutter, Dan.
Okay.
We're going to flood it. It's part of the plot of this issue.
Oh, we did.
Jesus Christ.
We're from Dan to Madam.
Dan's really taking liberties
Dan's
on this.
Dan's tension peaked up very quick there.
Hello, Madam.
So, yes, anyways, back to touch
your local dike.
The Allied commandos are sent to Holland to blow up.
Play Hans Brinker and use my fingers to just, you know. Anyway,
they have to blow up a specific part of this dike to
like my last girlfriend.
So they don't friggin' flood out the nearby towns and kill thousands of residents that are innocent. And to
so this is clearly set around Ringer Wharf.
Yeah, damn, that's dyke.
And to
Dan's just in the gutter. I'm going for obscure World War II humor.
and to
mostly because I know where they actually were. Part of Holland was actually flooded due to a bomb strike on the dyke.
The bomb.
Oh my god. To accomplish the task of blowing up the dikes, they are expected to run into this guy that is is hiding his identity, and he's named Agent X, and he is to meet up with the Howling Commandos and show them the exact spot they have to blow up. Along the way, they meet this kid whose name is certainly totally I remembered it.
It's Hans.
Hans, yes, of course.
You kind of missed an important detail. They cannot be caught by the mayor of the town where they're going to be meeting Agent X, because he's a traitor and he informs to the Germans.
Well, I was getting into that, but yes, Hans, the kid they meet is. This is where I was going to transition into the mayor part, because he's the son of the mayor, who is a traitor. And aligned with the Germans and blah, blah, blah.
I was just mentioning that because they were warned about the mayor before they left England.
They were indeed. So they are almost caught by the Nazis because of these fangirls over Dino, because he's a movie star at one point.
That which is pretty pissed funny, me off.
But it's stupid.
Because it's a fucking war comic.
Yeah.
And these girls are drawn like they're straight out of Patsy Walker.
They are.
And they act like they're straight out of Patsy Walker, despite being in a fucking war zone.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the girls make it up, and besides the two that were nearby, they direct the Nazis in a different direction by running away.
So they don't take him out because the girls weren't going to go Dutch.
But the Howling Commandos don't end up finding Agent X for a long time, so they're like, screw it, we've got to get our mission complete, and we only have enough for one charge, so we're just going to have to take a guess. So then they put...
They make Izzy guess. Yeah, because he's a mechanic, so he clearly knows about dikes.
Which he says he doesn't know anything about dikes, so it's just going to have to take a wild guess. He guesses a spot, but right as they're getting ready to plant, Agent X actually appears, whips Scuba Deer right from the water, from the dike, and and fucking directs them to the actual spot, which is kind of like right under, there's a little tunnel that goes underneath, and directs them to the spot, and they blow it up successfully, and the mission's complete. Then after the mission's complete, Agent X asks the Hound Commandos to take Hans with them and wants the boy to be safe and blah, 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 and is heavily teased that Agent X is probably the mayor.
Oh, Agent X, it's good. Not teased. Agent X is the mayor. They just trust you enough to not explicitly say it, but it's pretty much impossible to miss the fact that he's actually the mayor.
It definitely is. Gabe points it out at the end, too, that what if it's the mayor?
Yeah, even though he lost about 50 pounds when he put on that wetsuit.
Yeah, really. He does have a completely different build, but still.
But no, it is, and I mean, this is kind of a spoiler, because it's not formally said until his next appearance in like 5 or 6 issues, but he is the mayor, and they made it clear enough that I don't feel like we need to dance around that fact.
No, it was definitely getting revealed. It's not... It was all but said. But yeah, I really enjoyed this one too. I also gave this one 4 stars. This one is objectively the better one by a decent amount. So this is probably more of a... I don't know. I really enjoyed this one though. This one was a lot of fun. And it was kind of... There was elements of it that were a bit... Made it a bit different too.
Yeah. This one... almost got 4 stars for me, but it just had enough problems that it kept knocking it down. Like,
there is some dumb parts in this, but
yeah, like for one thing, why didn't Agent X just destroy the dike himself? He was there. That's where he met the Howler. He could have just planted explosives and left. If he's worried about getting caught by the Nazis for being around the dike right when the dike blew up, he shouldn't have gone there to meet the Howlers.
Yeah. Yeah. The Indiana Jones syndrome all over again.
Yeah, that and the girls. The girls really bugged me because they're drawn in like 1940s fashion and everything, and they're watching Hollywood movies while they're in an occupied country.
Yeah, they wouldn't have got to see Hollywood movies.
No, especially not while the Germans were occupying.
Yeah, that part was really stupid. But
and I think they would have been smart enough to not be like, oh, it's Izzy Cohen. Or not Izzy Cohen, fuck. It's Dino.
Yeah.
But, you know, girls.
I know Stan's opinion of girls.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've read well over 2,000 comics with his issues with women on full display.
Yeah, really.
Seeing a girl in a comic book does not qualify you as an expert. I'm sorry. Just saying. Talking to one over the cash at the comic shop doesn't count either.
As if there were many.
Like girls came in there.
Yes.
We know who our boss was.
Yeah, it's that too. Yeah, well, let's not go down that rabbit hole right now.
But anyways, that was the Surge and Fury issues for the week. The shining lights of in the depths of despair that were shining next. Not shining, because these next ones are shit, but... Anyways, Avengers number 13, The Castle of Count Nefaria, this one is titled. Stan Lee, of course, writing, because, you know, don't share. Don Heck on art, Dick Giles on inks, Jack Kirby and Dick Giles on covers. Artie Simic is the letterer, December 1964. This is a 20-page story, and Bill will take this one.
All right. The Avengers prevent the Magia from committing another crime. If you don't know, the Magia is their version of the Mafia, but they don't want to actually say something that could get them shot.
That's right.
Count Nefaria decides he needs to put the Avengers out of action. This synopsis leaves out a lot of important details, like the fact that Count Nefaria is the head of the Magia. I should read ahead. As no one knows he is the leader of the Magia, he holds a party in his castle and invites the Avengers. While they sleep after the party, Nefaria makes copies of each of the Avengers, who he commands to declare war on the United States. When the real Avengers leave the party, they are attacked by the army. They discover what has happened and pursue and battle Nefaria, getting evidence from him that proves their innocence. However, in the battle, Wasp is critically injured. Off-panel, I might add. And yes, that is the entire synopsis.
Wow. Okay.
I can't think of anything important to add to it, except for the part where they're all captured and they have to be rescued by Earth's actual mightiest heroes, the Teen Brigade.
Oh, dear God. Really?
The Teen Brigade. Really? The Teen Brigade features heavily in this issue, and it has turned me to the side of Bill on the topic.
This comic is the reason I hate the Teen Brigade, and by extension, Rick Jones. Although Rick Jones continues to give me other reasons to hate him going forward.
Yeah.
Before this, he was largely inoffensive, but at this point, they have a literal god, and they have to be saved by teenagers with ham radios.
Hmm. This issue makes the Avengers look pathetic, whether that's the point or not.
Pathetic.
So, like I said, I legitimately hated this one. I gave it 1 star. Fuck this comic.
I've been vacillating between a high 2 and a low 3 because this comic objectively isn't actually that bad for the era it's in. It's terrible by modern standards, but it's very, like, by the standards of Golden Age comics, which is clearly where the Avengers are still stuck, it works decently well.
But don't you feel like they're objectifying the villains at all here?
It's Count Nefaria. I don't care.
Count Nefaria sucks. Count Nefaria never becomes a good villain.
I have not been excited for a single story involving him ever.
I've read one or two random appearances he had in the 90s, and he's still a nothing villain. Although he just
that is a depressing phrase I just heard you say.
He's in the. I've read him in a couple random 90s Spider-Man I have.
The fact that he's still around in the 90s means that he's not getting canceled anytime soon. I hoped he was going the way of, like, the Crimson Beetle or whatever he was.
I've seen him in modern comics, too.
God damn it. Why do bad ideas never die? Dan Slott is going to bring back the Circus of Crime.
He was in, like, Uncanny Avengers or something. But anyways, enough about shitty villains. This one had nothing going from the start, because I didn't like Count Nefaria to begin with, and somehow he's even more lame back then.
Okay.
Fuck this comic.
Fuck it. Yeah.
But I think the big reason I rated it higher than you two is I tried to keep my... I mean, I'm not perfect at it. There's definitely titles that get rated higher or lower because I like the characters and I can't help it. But yeah. I try to be somewhat objective about it. And so the fact that I hate Count Nefaria as a concept, I tried to avoid docking the comic for.
Yeah, but I also have a higher Avengers tolerance in general than you. So that kind of balances out a little bit.
Yeah. No, it's just specifically with this one. Like, I'd be like, Count Nefaria, star off right there.
I just don't think anything in this comic clicks. I think everything about this comic is just shit. From the shitty fill-in, to the Team Brigade's usage, to how the team is written. Captain America has some alright moments in this comic, but that's about it.
Yeah, the team... My second reading definitely was worse than my first one.
You know what? I'm coming down on Ryan's side on this, because one of the things that I've discovered right from the very beginning with the Avengers is I'm still trying to find that moment, that spark in one of their comics that made them, made Hollywood go, oh, hey, this is where we want to go with this expanding universe of, you know, superhero films. It's these guys. You know, but it's more than that. It's because I had friends reading these comics in this era who loved them. They were massive Avenger dorks.
I've got bad news for you, Dan.
Missing it somehow.
I'm in 1976, and I'm still looking for that spark.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned to our podcast for the next 5 years as we continue to fail.
The spark's in plenty of other comics, but not in Avengers.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I understand that. I just find it really odd that the Avengers got the attention it did.
Yeah, I suspect, honestly, that it was more just that it's the only team that's made up of characters that operate independently that people have actually heard of, so they could do all the building movies before the team-up picture.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, their other option is, like, who? The Defenders? Only hardcore comic nerds have heard of them.
Yeah, who would adapt the Defenders? Nobody,
and we saw how well, and we saw how well it worked out on TV.
Yeah, it turns out nobody, because they just made it. They just made up a completely new team called the Defenders.
I mean, half the Defenders have actually been in the Defenders.
Okay. Okay.
I just realized that we're doing our end of month stuff today, and like there was no good comics this week, this month. Pretty much.
I'm so bailing on you guys on that one because I have no opinions on half of this stuff, and my opinions on the rest of it are all crap.
I forget what I even picked for that. I forgot we were doing that. I sent that
to
you like 2 weeks ago and didn't think of it again.
When we can go through it, because I should have taken the time. I just didn't realize. Yeah. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah. Enough about that shitty Offenders. Let's move on to the next one. Offenders number 14 is next, which is titled Even Offenders Can Die, which is a lie. Written by Stan Lee.
But they didn't shoot Hank, so, you know, I'm kind of glad it's a lie.
This one's actually scripted by Stan Lee, it says in the comic. And Larry, his brother Larry and Paul Lycan co-write it. Whatever. Ooh. I can't speak. Art by Don Heckenjack.
I don't know who Paul Lycan is. Oh, that's why. he's got two credited writing titles. This and a story from Crazy Magazine in 1979.
That's crazy.
And name people?
And that's the expanded orders record where it includes everything he's done. Oh, and he's edited like 6 issues of Crazy Magazine.
I'm willing to bet he's probably not a real person.
Yeah, there's a reason he has so few credits.
Yeah, this is a new pen name somebody coined in the hope, you know, sort of just put out there just in case somebody else wanted to hide their identity.
Yeah.
Right, I think that's what's going on.
I don't know, because he was actually an editor, and usually they don't edit under pen names.
Nice.
And I've also read this comic, and so that's 50% of his writing credits, and he wasn't a very good writer. I could see Stan not even sticking him on the romance titles or something.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, art's by Don Heck and John Kirby. John Kirby? Who the fuck's that? Jack Kirby. Fuck. Chick Stone, Jimmy Jack Kirby,
the little known fake Kirby that they brought in when the real one left.
cover art by Jack Kirby and Dick Ayers, letters by Sam Rosen. This is a January 1965 release. So Happy New Year's! Take this shit. Hat pages, 20-page story. And this one is for Dan the cover. Have fun, buddy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay, starting with the cover. It's not horrible. But
yes, it is.
Great. No, it's not that bad. There's no people dressed in green. So
see, I think I dislike this cover as much as you dislike the Sergeant Fury cover.
I'm gonna agree with Ryan on this one. The Avengers cover is worse than the Sergeant Fury cover.
No.
I'll take Stretchy Arms Fury.
I appreciate that you guys are man enough to step up and admit when you're wrong by saying something like that, proving the illegitimacy of your choices. But there is no way this is worse than the Fury cover.
At least the Fury cover had Fury and Dum Dum in the center to draw your eye. This has nothing to really make you focus on. It's just a muddled mess.
It's just the Avengers fighting a ton of men in doll-looking attire.
I don't think anyone in this comic even looks like those guys.
No.
I'm gonna start reading now. You two just talk amongst yourselves. Okay. Synopsis for Even Avengers Can Die. The Avengers rush the dying Wasp to the emergency room, but there's nothing any of the doctors can do for her. The only man who may be able to save her is a Dr. Svensson. Thor finds him as quickly as he can only to.
You're getting the good English like I did in mine.
Let me try that a third time. Thor finds him quickly, as quickly as he can, only to find out he's an alien imposter.
So Thor brings him back to the. Thor brings him back to the hospital and where Wasp is, and they try to get Svensson to perform surgery on Wasp, but he won't.
Stop.
He's literally wearing a flesh mask. Okay. He's an alien wearing a flesh mask.
The alien dies when exposed to the atmosphere of Earth because its mask was removed. Giant Man uses his ants to search all over the world, but to no avail. So he concludes that wherever he is, there are no ants. This leaves the North and South Poles. Heading to the North Pole, they find an alien base where Dr. Svensson is being held. The aliens are found to be Kardashians, and they are hiding... Sorry. Collusions. Well, maybe they're in collusion with Dr. Svensson.
Keeping up with the collusions.
And they're hiding.
At least they're not in collusion with Russia.
Well, thank God for that. All right. But they are apparently hiding from other aliens who will destroy them. They are soon discovered and have to flee. Dr. Svensson, instead of killing off Dr. Svensson, which they probably should have done, he's brought back to America and operates successfully on the Wasp. No one knows whether the Kardashians survived or not. I guess we'll find out in a future episode of the Avengers.
No, we won't. This is their only appearance.
We should say that about the Kardashians, don't you?
Remember that point in the synopsis where they had Svensson and it was the alien?
Oh, yeah, and he was kind of standing there going...
Until that point in the comic, this comic was actually good. After that, it went downhill.
Yeah, it went downhill fast. It went hard into golden age alien sci-fi stories that they probably lifted from Strange Tales that never got published and just stuck the Avengers on it as a framing device.
It went down fast and furiously.
I bet Svensson was the original main character of this story.
Well, it's not the worst thing we've ever read.
It's
slightly different from the usual tedious tropes that they run with.
The tease of a character dying is actually really good.
I'm going to give
just
it
three. I also went three.
There you go.
I went two.
Just why couldn't they shoot Hank instead of Jan?
Damn. Kids these days. Your generation just doesn't get this shit, man.
I really wish they had shot Hank and then couldn't find Svensson. And that's how the comic ended.
That would have been a 5-star comic.
Oh, totally. Knowing I never had to deal with Goliath or Yellowjacket or Back to Giant Man or other Goliath, which directly happened because of Hank, but was fucking Hawkeye.
Who was fucking Hawkeye?
No.
Black Widow.
Wasp was fucking Hawkeye?
I mean, that might explain some of Hank's behavior, but no. Despite Hawkeye's efforts.
Yeah, okay. We're with you. Keep it in family. Let's go. What's next?
Next is Fantastic Four number 35, which is titled Calamity
now.
On the Campus. Stan Lee, of course, writing with art by Jack Kirby. Inks by Chick Stone. Cover art by Jack Kirby. Letters by Artie Simek. This is a December 1964 release date. Probably one of the better things that came out that month. And a 20-page story.
I've read this entire month's worth of comics. This is definitely the best thing that came out this month.
Time for Bill to market.
Yeah. Reed Richards has been invited back to his old alma mater, State University, to deliver a lecture and has brought the rest of the Fantastic Four along with him. After meeting with Dean Menken, the four cross paths with Charles Xavier, who is at State University with his student Scott Summers, secretly investigating reports there may be mutants on campus. They stop as they pass Professor Gilbert's laboratory and are shocked at his latest creation, a massive android fashioned after a dragon. Meanwhile, in far-off Transylvania, Diablo breaks free from his imprisonment and teleports away, intent on getting revenge against the Fantastic Four for trapping him. Back in the States, Gilbert has the Thing help him with the heavy lifting, and later the pair bump into Peter Parker, who is visiting State to determine if he will attend after graduating high school. Neither the Torch or the Thing are aware that Parker is secretly their sometimes ally Spider-Man. While the male members of the team play against the SU football team, Sue happens to partially recognize Diablo as he drives past in a car, but the man exits the vehicle before she can get up close enough to examine him. Diablo pays a visit to Professor Gilbert and offers him a means of using alchemy to bring his android to life. As they are conducting this experiment, the Thing wanders off, having grown bored listening to Reed's speech. Spotting Diablo, Ben tries to attack but is rebuffed by the now-active Dragon Man. The battle takes them outside as the rest of the Fantastic Four join in. They soon realize that the Dragon Man is smitten by Sue, but they are knocked out by gas. When they revive, they learn that the Professor, Diablo, and Dragon Man had retreated back to Dead Man's Lake. Back to? This is the first time they went there. They then track their foes there, as Diablo tries to escape by freezing the lake and attempting to skate across, Dragon Man turns on him and tries to chase after Diablo, but the ice is too weak to support his weight and it shatters. Both Diablo and Dragon Man plunge into the waters below and are lost when the undertow sweeps them into some underwater caves. In the aftermath of the battle, Reed takes Sue down to the sweetheart tree on campus and finally proposes to her, and much to his delight, she says yes.
Woo! Finally, about time.
I'm surprised they didn't save that part for an annual.
There's so many things I could say that would get this podcast absolutely shut down in a second. Wow.
That's if anybody's watched the shut it down.
Anywhere. Yeah. It's crap. Absolute crap.
Now we have the curmudgeon opinion out of the way.
A one.
This one was actually pretty good. I gave it a 3.
Oh, you just give it...
Bill probably Spider-Man gave this one a 4. Sips.
Fucking Spider-Man.
Of course I did, because I'm a filthy mark. Dragon Man is my boy.
The Disney mark and the Spider-Man simp. The two of
them. Yes, it was the two panels Peter Parker was in that made it for, and not all the awesome Dragon Man stuff.
You want to know what my favorite Spider-Man character is, other than J. Jonah Jameson, my number two?
Green Goblin?
Peter Porker. They finally drew him right.
Peter Porker is awesome, but I maintain he's not a Spider-Man character. He's Spider-Ham character.
Yeah, he hams it up a lot. You know, he's always baking for, you know, attention, but, you know, we like him.
Okay. We gotta get past that material.
I tried.
So...
And failed.
Whatever.
Much like Stan on the last couple of Avengers.
Yeah. Tried and failed.
Exactly. Daredevil number 6 is up next and last. So this one is titled by, what am I saying today?
What?
This one is titled Trapped by the Fellowship of Fear. That's where my by came from, the Trapped by.
Uh-huh.
I guess since we're saying time of by, happy Pride Month, by the way. Anyways, Stan Lee wrote this one, of course. Art and inks by Wallace Wood and cover art. Our good pal Wallace Wood. Sam Rosen's on letters. December 1964 release, 20-page story, and Dan, this one should be fun.
Okay, first of all, let me thank you for sticking me with the fucking Daredevil comic, right?
Anytime.
I'm going to leave a nice little present in a brown paper bag on your porch. Okay, synopsis for Trapped by the Fellowship of Fear. Let's hope it's got more character and color than the actual cover of this freaking comic.
I've got some bad news for you about Wally Wood art.
Well, I can only freaking imagine. Witnessing a break-in of a bank by Ox and the Eel being filmed by a movie crew, Daredevil's senses tell him that it's really a cover for a real robbery. When Double D gets into a fight, both the Ox and the Eel, he is shot at by their employer, Mr. Fear. Whose fear pellets cause the Daredevil to experience pure fear and is compelled to flee the fight. Who wrote this, Pee Wee Herman? As Daredevil resumes his civilian guise and news spreads around the town about the event, we meet Mr. Fear's true identity, Zoltan Drago. Who's hiding? We need James Earl Jones to say his name. Okay, it's the first thing we need to do. Okay, we need Zoltan Drago to show up in one of the movies, just so James Earl Jones can say his name. His hideout is in a wax museum. He recounts the events that led him to discover his fear gas and the invention of his costumed identity of Mr. Fear, and how he recruited the Eel and the Ox to become members of his Fellowship of Fear. Returning to the present, Mr. Fear gathers his cohorts together to figure out how they will continue to try and plagiarize Edgar Allan Poe. Try and figure out how they will destroy Daredevil. Just saying. Opening the Wax Museum with a new display showcasing Daredevil, Matt, Froggy, and Karen go to check out the display. During the viewing, both Froggy and Matt notice the presence of the Ox in the museum. While Matt returns as Daredevil, Foggy arrives for his own investigation and walks in on Daredevil fighting the Eel and an Ox. Foggy is injured during the fight, and Double D is forced to flee again to bring Foggy to a hospital. There, he alerts Karen to the incident and meets her at the hospital as Matt Murdock. Changing back into his guise of Daredevil yet again, to watch over Froggy, he stops the Fellowship from attacking Foggy in the hospital, forcing them to flee. The Fellowship returns to the Wax Museum, where Daredevil is waiting for them, pretending to be his own wax statue. He fights all three Fellowship members and defeating them all, turning them over to the police. Then, as Matt Murdock, Double D returns to the hospital to see that Foggy is all right. And later, Foggy is discharged from the hospital. Why do you hate me? Why? What did I do to deserve this shite?
It's objectively pretty shitty, but
it's less shit than I expected a story featuring the Ox and the Eel to be.
Yeah, it's actually kind of fun.
Although the fact that Daredevil went up against Mr. Fear like 3 times before he managed to beat him was pretty sad.
I love the grouping of Eel and Ox and this Mr. Fear. It's hilarious.
Mr. Fear becomes important in like 10 years.
It's hilarious.
He actually becomes one of Daredevil's more important villains, but at this point, he's just a chump with a fear gun.
I damn near lost my shit when near the end of the issue Daredevil pulls their trick back on them and pretends to be a wax statue.
That was so dumb, it was great.
Yeah. This is just a really dumb comic that is so dumb it's awesome. But not awesome because it's only 3 stars.
It was 2 stars for me.
I gave it the 3. I enjoyed this one enough.
I'm going to give it what I consider to be an incredibly generous 2. But only because they were plagiarizing better material.
Fair enough.
Not doing a particularly good job of it, I might add.
I mean, the whole movie shit at the start was really fucking dumb.
And where the fuck was Paris Hill? Why is she not in this?
She was a zygote back then, Dan.
Well, it still counts. Right? Zygote in this story probably would have made it better.
You know, the worst thing is,
I'm right.
I can't honestly say that that wouldn't have happened.
Oh, it's like I say, I'm being really, really super generous with the 2 on this one.
Ugh. I don't know. I'm the one being generous with 3, but I just got a kick out of some of this.
There's a difference.
Well, everybody has those things.
Okay, let's do the end of month shit now. Get it over with. Come
Might
on.
As well. I mean, we have come the on. List of titles, so.
I don't have the list. I didn't. Did you send the list?
Yeah,
yeah,
like
I sent it 2 weeks ago.
Bill can read through the list, and you can, if you have a worst and best, if you don't, whatever. But if you have a worst and best, we'll get it. The poll list is just staying the same, because we must have gotten rid of Avengers on our list last month, so. Yeah.
I don't think I ever had Avengers, and you already scrapped
it. Maybe I
it.
Didn't. I must have scrapped it last month, then.
Yeah, you scrapped it last month, and I don't think I ever had it.
So yeah, the poll list will then stay the same. Daredevil's hanging on by a thread.
How is Daredevil hanging on by a thread?
Because I got a kick out of this.
You
one.
Don't even have it.
Yeah, do you, don't I?
Nope.
Or did I already get rid of it? Oh, I got rid of it because of issue 5. Never mind, it's still gone then.
It's hanging on by a thread for me, and this issue is what it kills it.
Fair enough. I thought I still had it, so I was going to say, but no, I don't have it, so it's staying gone. Everything else is safe. But anyways, Bill will run us through a list of comics for the month so we can choose our best and worst.
Alright, so we kick things off with Tales of Suspense 63, Somewhere Lurks the Phantom. Then
a strong start.
The Origin of Captain America in the same issue. Journey into Mystery 113 with A World Gone Mad with the Grey Gargoyle. And The Boyhood of Loki with Loki. Sergeant Fury and His Howling Commandos 13 with Captain America and Bucky. Tales of Suspense 64 with Hawkeye and the New Black Widow again. And then the Among Us Wreckers Dwell Golden Age reprint. Avengers 12, This Hostage Earth, where even the Avengers don't respect Giant Man. Strange Tales 128 with Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch meeting the Torch, and then the Demon's Disciple and Doctor Strange. Fantastic Four 34 with A House Divided, where Gideon tries to break up the Fantastic Four. Amazing Spider-Man 21 with the Beetle. Strange Tales 129 with the Terrible Trio and Tiburo, the Tyrant of the Sixth Dimension. And then the stuff we covered today.
So, we'll start off with our worst like normal so we can go to our highlights. Not that there's many this month. But, Dan, do you have one or should we just take it?
Well, okay, I'm going to go with best.
Okay.
That'd be Avengers 12.
Simply weirdo.
Because it wasn't crap. Okay. Right.
Bold choice. So you just didn't have a worst?
I'm struggling with the worst simply because there were...
many options?
There were actually quite a few options.
Yeah, I know. It's bad, Ma.
Yeah, it's mostly just mediocre stuff. There's not a lot that's really good or really bad.
Yeah, although I think I can comfortably say that what I just read, Daredevil, was probably the worst.
Okay.
It's really bad.
Sure.
No, it is. It's really, really freaking bad. There's nothing original about it. There's nothing unique about it. There's nothing entertaining about it.
I disagree with that.
No, no, it's not entertaining at all. It's just, it's derivative. It pulls in from what at that time were some of the best horror films going on in Hollywood and coming out of Hammersmith as well. You know, and they just jumbled some bits from all of those and threw them into a story with Daredevil. Right? It's like, you know, ugh.
You know, I really can't disagree with Dan because this is the Daredevil that got to eat it off my pull list, so.
The man of a fear that's made Scared 6 issues into his run.
No, I literally, I'm more annoyed with it, which is why it came sort of, it's getting talked about here.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated with the fact that they could take, arguably some of the better horror films, Vincent Price, etc., and just turn this into some kind of joke.
I mean, the only good thing it has going for it is that Mike Murdoch isn't in it.
I think I liked it because I accepted it as a joke.
I've dated girls on that premise and it hasn't worked, just so you know.
Oh, don't worry. Ryan's relationship is going the same way. I know what the future Daredevils are like.
Okay.
Okay, Bill, so what's your worst of the month?
My worst of the month is Strange Tales number 19, A Story. I think I mistranscribed that. Just a second.
You did.
I have Strange Tales. No, I have to remember which one it was. Oh, yeah, 129. That's what it's supposed to be.
Which is the latest one we read.
Yes, with the Terrible Trio.
Oh, yeah, fair. Yeah, good
that
choice.
That would have been my second choice. That's fair.
Mine, I really hated that Avengers Day, so that's what I'm going with. Oh, number 13. Okay. I genuinely disliked the...
Yes, we had a bunch of options for worst.
Yeah.
The best is what's hard this month.
Well, that's because there's no real good ones.
And Dan gave his, so we'll go with Bill. What was yours? I already know. I looked at
my
this.
Best was Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos 13.
Fair enough.
I really enjoyed the team up with Captain America.
That was my least favorite Sergeant Fury issue of the month. But...
Well, let me put it this way. My top three were all Sergeant Fury.
Yeah.
Because it was like the only title that was good this month.
Yeah, it was even better than the Spider-Man issue we got this month. I had a few options, and a couple of them were the Sergeant Furies we did today. But I also liked both the Thor stories we had this month, and then that one Iron Man I enjoyed a lot more than you did with Black Widow and Hawkeye. I'm going to be safe and give it to Sergeant Fury, the latest one we read, 15. That was really good with Agent X and stuff. Even though it was really blunt about two Agent X's.
I mean, I don't consider that a failure because it's kind of necessary to know who Agent X is for the Han story to have any payoff.
Oh, yeah, no, it's very effective, but, like, even some of the foolishness throughout that issue, I highly enjoyed that one.
I thought it was going to be mine until I remembered that I gave the Captain America one 4 stars, and that tipped it slightly higher.
All right, so with that out of the way, let's tease what we're going to talk about next week. So we're going to start off strong with some Strange Tales issues. We're going to do issue number 130, The A Story, where we meet the Beatles. Should be an exciting time. Then we get number 131, A Story, called The Bouncing Ball of Doom, one that Bill has teased to be awful.
It's called The Bouncing Ball of Doom. Do you really expect there's any chance it's not awful?
No, but... Anyways, number 36 of Fantastic Four then comes next, which features the Frightful Four. So that should be a fun time. And then X-Men issue number 10, the most important issue of this title in a while, as we meet Kazar.
Yeah, that's pretty important, the first appearance of Kesar.
And then the new Giant Man debuts in Tales of Astonish number 65, Ace Story. Keep in mind, we only have 5 Giant Man stories left.
Oh, thank God.
And to end the week off, on the highest of notes, of course, The Amazing Spider-Man number 22, which is presenting the clown.
And it's a circus of crime story.
So it might not be a high note.
It's the fucking circus of crime.
So yes.
Honestly, this is probably the worst Spider-Man we've covered since maybe 8.
Should be a fun time then.
I think that's subjective.
I think you're subjective, but anyway.
Well, I mean, even if you don't like Spider-Man, damn, some are going to be worse than others.
That would suggest that maybe there's good Spider-Man
in there. Well, some issues heavily
really
feature
think
Jonah.
Dumb enough to buy that.
Really? But anyways, so yeah, that's next week's lineup. Should be interesting. But anyways, we will move on with our lives that don't exist and get out of here. So, if you're watching this on YouTube, please leave a like, subscribe, comment, even share if you'd like to. Of course, we're also available on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you're on Spotify, click that poll. Tell us, let us know what your favorite comic we covered this week was. And why was it The Defenders? Because if it was, I will hunt you down. But anyways...
I was waiting to see if you could figure out which Avengers was worse to threaten them with.
Just if you pick either Avengers, you're... fucked. But anyways, yeah. If you enjoyed this episode, do all that, and we will see you all next week for some fun times. Bye.
Have a good one.
Peace.